for the difficulties, but life is like that.
Absolutely.
So let me just begin by saying that we live in very challenging times. And as a consequence of living in these very challenging times, we all are looking for answers. And the reason that I chose Seek and Ye Shall Find as a discussion topic is that in the end, the only answers that we can really find are going to be within. The expansion of consciousness is what Paramahansa Yogananda is speaking to in the quote that I provided that you see in the talk that I was to give today. Yogananda in 1923 founded the Self-Realization Fellowship because it was all about the concept of the expansion of consciousness. As we learn how to expand our consciousness, then we come into the place of seeking. In the excerpt that was provided to you, I mentioned the three halls: the hall of ignorance, the hall of knowledge, and the hall of wisdom. Trying to find the key to have us exit these halls is what seeking is really about. Both Susan and I have been very, very blessed to have had wisdom keepers in our lives. William Commanda is a perfect example of the wisdom keeper who has entered our lives at least 20 years ago. And we were able to spend almost 16 years working with William Commanda, whose refrain was always one mind, one soul, one prayer, one direction, oneness. Very shortly after that, we met Willaru Waita from Cusco, Peru. Waita is actually the way to pronounce his name. So Willaru came to us in 1998. We had a gathering in Ottawa of many wisdom keepers, and our first occasion to meet Willaru. Willaru brought the Inca teachings to us. And you should understand that in Peru, outside of Cusco and the Sacred Valley, were mystery schools prior to the invasion of the Spanish. And the mystery schools were intended to assist humanity, those who made a commitment to expand their consciousness, to raise their consciousness. And they were shown steps that were to be taken. The Inca cross is essentially a squared three steps on each side of the Inca cross. And these three steps represented what the students of the mystery schools were to practice. The first step was entitled Elimination of the Egos. We should appreciate that within the human being, the divine who's having a physical experience can end up in egoism, usually represented by the seven cardinal sins: lust, anger, pride, envy, greed, laziness, and gluttony. And it is said that the Inca were concerned about teaching how to eliminate the egos in order to purify the heart, in order to bring purification to the love instrument that holds the key to the exit from the halls, the exit from the hall of ignorance into the hall of knowledge, the exit from the hall of knowledge into the hall of wisdom. In order to achieve this expansion of consciousness, one must become an observer of self. And when one begins to observe oneself, one can see the egos acting out. Willaru said the best way for us to understand how the egos work is to assign an animal to each ego. Lust is the black dog, only interested in smelling the sex. Anger is the bull. Pride is the peacock. Envy is a seagull, it'll take your French fries. Laziness is a monkey in South America called the puño puño, so lazy that it can hardly peel the banana to feed itself. And greed and gluttony is taken by the pig. Six animals, seven egos. When we begin to observe ourselves, we begin to see where we feed the egos, and we feed the egos with our mental, emotional body. Our thinking and our feeling combine to bring us into a situation where we serve our egos rather than serve the within, the self with a capital S. That self gets ignored. And we craft our lives around what we call personality. And our currency are the egos. They can be good egos or they can be bad egos. It's, of course, dependent on the emotional thinking, feeling and thinking that brings us into serving the egos. It is said that a wise person is one who becomes knowledgeable about not being the doer, recognizing that they are here as a divine presence, having a physical experience. Yogananda has said that when we descend into the physical from the astral world, from the bardo where we have been since our last death until our next incarnation, that in that transition period, we are able to understand at a much deeper level what we need to do to expand our consciousness. And then when the essence of our being, our soul, enters into the physical form, it comes through the crown chakra and descends down all through the chakras until it makes its way to the base chakra. And we get caught there. We descend into materialism to the point where materialism becomes our world. What we see, what we feel, what we touch, what we hear, all our senses are attuned to the material world. At a moment in time, there comes some kind of an epiphany that occurs, be it a crisis, be it an opportunity, be it a happening, be it an accident, something that taps us on the shoulder and says, wake up, come to the realization that there is a need to make the ascension. And that ascension means that we come to the realization of our base chakra and the energy that resides there. And we begin the journey of ascension up through the chakras, the sacral center, the solar plexus, the heart, the throat, the third eye, and the crown chakra. In other words, the journey of descent into the material world turns into a journey of ascension to the spiritual. Because we are spiritual beings having a physical experience, we must come to realize and understand what is it that keeps us from expanding our consciousness. And the Inca say it is the egos. To eliminate them, you need help. And the help resides within you. That help is here in your third eye, and that's your father. That's wisdom. And in your heart, this is love. The story of the prodigal son and daughter in the Bible is linked to the commandment that says, honor thy father and thy mother. But you must come to understand that the father and mother being referred to is not your biological mother nor your biological father. This is the father of wisdom that resides in your third eye and the mother of love who resides in your heart. Any question that you have in life, it does not matter what it is. If you ask your father and your mother, they will respond to you in love and wisdom. The story of the prodigal son and daughter is that in the great mansion with their parents, they left and they went out into the material world and came to the realization in the material world that happiness was not going to come to them through all of the, what they saw and felt and did in the material world. And they made a return. They went back to their mansion to find that their mother and father never left them. And so the mother and father that resides within each of us is always there to assist in prayer and meditation that brings about the answers that we are looking for. The idea that is this: if we are not prepared to go within, then we are going to go without. The material world will not provide the answers that you are looking for, but your mother and your father will provide those answers. As you go into prayer and meditation, the idea is to quell the ever-present thoughts that keep flowing through our mind, to begin to concentrate on and focus on the existence of the divine within. In Peru, when the Inca were active and before the Spanish came, men and women at the age of 16 would start at one end of the valley in a mystery school, and they would be taught what it is to eliminate the egos. The idea is that you must identify those egos by becoming an observer of self, to see the little s self from the eyes of the big s self. What this means is that we begin to see how we feed the animals. How do I feed the black dog? How do I feed the bull? How do I feed the pig? How do I feed the peacock? Etc., etc., etc. And when we begin to observe, we will come to the realization that we do it with our feelings and our mind, that mental and emotional bodies combine to either observe the elimination of the egos or participate in the growing of the egos. And this is the impediment to the raising of consciousness, a very important reason why the Inca concentrated on the initiates carrying with them a crystal skull. And the crystal skull was to remind the student to eliminate and put to death the egos. The second step in the Inca teachings was sacred alchemy. And sacred alchemy is a secret that was kept from humanity, because you cannot cast the sacred before the profane. You should not put pearls before those who would profane them. Sacred alchemy is a commitment of a man and a woman to sacred sex, which brings about meditative, prayerful raising of the kundalini energy. The symbol for sacred alchemy is the caduceus of Mercury. The caduceus of Mercury is the symbol that you now see that the medical profession has. The staff in the middle, which looks like a sword, and the twin serpents intertwined like the DNA around the spine, because the serpents represent Ida and Pingala, two energies that flow from the sacral center around the Shushuma, which is the spine and the channel that runs right down the spine. The Inca knew that this practice would produce perfect health. There would be no cancer. There would be no heart attack. There would be nothing but the flow of divine energy within the frame of the physical frame of the man and the woman. The third step in the Inca teaching was in unconditional love, teaching what the man and the woman learned from practicing the first two. The masters have said that at this time that we are in, the most important exercise that we can engage ourselves in is the elimination of the egos. Being able to put ourselves into a situation where we go from when we come into physical existence, we have but 3% of consciousness. and the ascended masters have 100%. And this is the makeup that we must bring about, 97%. And the masters say that in the times that we are in, as long as we can make it to 51%, we're showing and demonstrating that we're moving towards working with our mother and our father to create that essence of knowing, of wisdom and love, which will then flow through us and bring about a change in the way that we approach life. You'll notice that in the Bible statement, seek and ye shall find, comes the saying, knock and the door shall be opened to you. And when we're talking about the hall of ignorance, this is where we begin our journey. We begin our journey and our physical experience in the hall of ignorance, really not really knowing very much. But along the way, we are guided because we are divine beings having a physical experience. And that guidance brings us to the key, which takes us out of the hall of ignorance into the hall of knowledge. And when we find ourselves in the hall of knowledge, again, our mother and father are there to assist us, to bring us into the knowledge of self with a capital S, and watch in the rearview mirror as the small s self begins to diminish, that we begin to become the physical expression of the divine. And this we can do every single day. There is not a day that goes by that we can't become an observer of self. There is not a day that goes by that we cannot begin to see how our words and how our emotions dictate the expression from ourselves to everyone else. The self-realization that we seek to bring about in ourselves will happen because we develop a purity of heart. The small meditation that we did here today, the visualization of the existence of the goddess of love within your heart is real. It is something within everyone. Within the Inca tradition, the Inca would greet themselves, each other, by saying, Viracocha. And Viracocha means from the divine in me to the divine in you. As we recognize that divinity within each other, then we are now on the path of raising and expanding our consciousness towards the goal that exists for each human being, and that is self-realization. It is said that for the mind which flows in the wake of the wandering senses, it carries away our discrimination, as the wind carries away a boat on the water. Now contemplate this. There's a beautiful book called Empty Boat. And the idea is that imagine that you are in a lake, in a boat that's completely empty. And you bump into someone else. And all of a sudden, the boat is filled with our emotions and our feelings in relation. Come to the realization is that if our boat is empty, in other words, we are not filled up with our egos. We are not filled up with our own impressions of the little self, but we are capable of emptying the boat so that it is of the mind of acceptance, of the mind of expression, of purity of the heart. If we make it an empty boat, then we have the capacity to fill it up with the spiritual energy that comes our way. If you visualize the existence of your father in your third eye, all dressed in blue, and you visualize your mother, your divine goddess mother in your heart, all dressed in red, in their continual existence with you, you will come to realize that they are there to help you raise your consciousness to bring your consciousness into the divine, into the self-realization of existence. When you knock, the door will be open unto you. This is a knock. It's an inner door. That door is within you. And the capacity for your expansion exists within you. I just want to read to you something from Yogananda that I believe encapsulates the strength and power that comes from us and our spoken words. Man's word is spirit in man. Spoken words are sounds occasioned by the vibrations of thoughts. Thoughts are vibrations sent forth by the ego or by the soul. Every word you utter shall be potent with soul vibration. A man's words are lifeless if he fails to impregnate them with spiritual force. Talkativeness, exaggeration, or falsehoods make your words as ineffective as paper bullets shot from a toy gun. The speech and prayers of garrulous or inaccurate persons are unlikely to produce beneficial changes in the order of things. Man's word should represent not only truth, but also his definite understanding and realization. Speech without soul force is like husks without corn. Words saturated with sincerity, conviction, faith, and intuition are like highly explosive vibration bombs, which when set off, shatter the rocks of difficulties and create the change desired. Always remembering who you are. A divine being having a physical experience. Bring your consciousness into the awareness of your divinity. Bring your consciousness into the awareness of elimination of the egos. Come to your own self-realization. Within that, you will have the answers that are required. You will always be answered when you go into prayer and meditation with love and wisdom. Namaste.